Welcome. This is the fifth lesson in a series called What It Means to Be a Christian on the Sermon on the Mount. This morning, we want to talk a little bit about judging others. And Jesus, as he preaches in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Do not judge." We want to talk about that today. But I wonder, as we start out, if you've ever been accused of something that you didn't do. I'm sure most of us have been accused of things that we didn't do before. And I want you to think about that frustration that you might feel during that moment. The frustration and anger that builds up inside of us because we're being accused of something that we did not do. I don't know about you, but I start to perspire. I hope that someone will listen to my side of the story and that this somehow can be made right. It's a very troubling feeling when we've been accused of doing something that we did not do. In the Bible, there are several individuals who were accused of doing things that they did not do. Remember the story of David as he's going to fight Goliath. Well, prior to that story, David is simply told by his father to go check on his brothers in the Valley of Elah. And he's also there bringing bread and food for the soldiers. And in 1 Samuel 17:28, Eliab, David's oldest brother, hears David speaking to the men. And it says that he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Here, David is falsely accused of wanting to see the battle, when in fact he had come to see how his brothers were doing, to bring them food. That must have felt pretty hard. Another story is Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, and the priests at Nob. All these priests at Nob had seen David coming, and when David came with his men, they were hungry, and David was running away from Saul, but Ahimelech did not know that he was running away from Saul the king. So he decides to feed David and take care of the men, provide them with shelter, and also give them the sword of Goliath that had been there with the priests at Nob. But Doeg the Edomite, who was there, later tells Saul that Ahimelech had evil intent and that he was trying to thwart the king's ways. And so we find out in 1 Samuel 22:17 that King Saul ordered the guards at his side, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because they too have sided with David. They knew he was fleeing, yet they did not tell me." Now, the truth is that Doeg the Edomite was the deceiver in the story, and yet the priests of God were being accused of wrongdoing. I imagine that must have been pretty hard. How about another story, the story of Nahash, the king of the Ammonites? This was during the days of David when he was king. You see, Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, died, and his son Hanan succeeded him as king. Now, David went to show him kindness, but Hanan's men falsely accused David and his intentions. And in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "So Hanan seized David's envoys, shaved off half of each man's beard, cut off their garments at the buttocks, and sent them away." I believe that must have been pretty embarrassing. You see, this envoy came to Hanan to show their respect and kindness for the loss of his father. And yet, in their kindness, Hanan treats them in a heinous way, in a horrible way. You see, when we judge others and we are wrong in our judgment, it really hurts. And it makes us mad, and sometimes it might even cause us to commit the sin that we initially were accused of. I wonder, have you ever been accused of something falsely? You see, We've been talking about being accused of something falsely because I believe this kind of thought process resonates with us. But my point is actually to get us to think of something else. Have we ever accused somebody else of something? Now, have you ever accused of someone else doing something falsely? It may be that you don't realize that you accused them falsely. Did you ever accuse someone else? Did you ever judge someone else? In our passage from today, Jesus says in Matthew 7 verses 1 through 5, "Do not judge." He says, "Or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." You see, there, Jesus is reminding us not to judge. Now, does this mean no kind of judgment can be made at all? I mean, when you get your kids up in the morning, can you judge the clothes that they wear? How about if someone asks you about their haircut? Can you judge whether or not it's a good haircut or not? Of course, those are silly examples of judgment, and we might say, well, it's okay for us to give our thoughts or opinions or judgment on our children's clothing because it's a benefit to them, or even if someone really wants to know how they look or their haircut, we can give some honest feedback in a loving way. But I wonder, what if it's something really bad that is happening? Someone's going around church tearing everyone down. Can we judge that person? Can we say, look, your behavior is wrong and we cannot have that anymore? What if a spouse is going around flirting with someone else and you recognize this person's flirting with other men or with other women? Is it okay for us to bring judgment and say, hey, maybe you need to not be such a big flirt? What if someone decided that it was okay to sleep with children who are under 12 years old or 10 years old? Would we then not feel like we could have some judgment to say, hey, this is not right? My point is simply this. Judgment is okay. But here in the context, as we look at the words of Jesus, we want to try to understand, what does he mean by do not judge or you too will be judged? I think there are two ways we can understand judgment. First, we might think of judgment as condemning someone, which I believe is Jesus' intention here. Do not condemn someone else, because condemnation is only for God. Only God brings about someone's eternal consequences. But there's a second way to think of judgment. The second way is to analyze or discern something, a judgment call. I believe that is not what Jesus is talking about here. He's not saying, do not judge. In other words, do not discern what is right and wrong. He's not saying, do not judge what children would be good friends for your children. He's simply saying, do not judge. In other words, do not condemn, or you too will be condemned. In fact, he goes on to say, by the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So be careful. You know, as we look through the scripture, there are three things that are important for us to understand, really, that apply to almost any scripture we think about. First, we need to understand the context of what Jesus is saying. And all throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been talking to his disciples. He's talking to these believing disciples, and he's encouraging them to not be hypocrites in the way that they handle themselves with prayer, for example, with the way they handle themselves with the law. For example, it says, do not murder. I tell you, do not even be angry at your brother, or do not commit adultery. I say, don't even lust after someone else. He's encouraging them not to be hypocritical in the way they handle themselves. So when we understand the context of this passage, it helps us, right? We understand what is going on around it. And as we will talk a little bit about next week, further on in this passage, Jesus says Beware of the false prophets. In fact, they will be known by their fruit. That seems like a kind of judgment. So here, as we think about it, it's important, first of all, to understand the context. Okay, so Jesus is talking about in the context of sharing with his disciples how to be better disciples, better followers of God. And he's simply saying, hey, don't be hypocritical in the way that you judge others. For in the same way you judge, it will be judged back to you. Be careful to not condemn others. For it is only God who is the ultimate judge that will do that. The second thing that we need to understand is we want to interpret Scripture with Scripture. That's one of the reasons why I already shared with you some examples of Scriptures in the Old Testament where people were falsely accused, simply to get our minds to start thinking about accusations and when we make judgment calls about other people. We have to be careful. So Scripture interprets Scripture. And the last thing that I think is so important, which I hope to bring about today in this lesson, is that we need to apply Scripture to our lives. We need to apply Scripture to our lives. In fact, Scripture is not just a text to be studied. Scripture is a text to be lived out. And so, if Jesus is trying to tell us here, be careful in the way that you judge others. In fact, do not judge, or you too will be judged. We need to listen to that. And so it's helpful for us to think through, how do we judge others? Well, consider these other couple of stories in the New Testament about judgments that were incorrect, right? And even the judgment call itself was wrong. And so, I should say it this way. The judgments were correct, but it was not the right judgment to bring about. Okay, so consider this: the story of the woman caught in the very act of adultery. Is the judgment correct? In other words, was she caught in the middle of adultery? From the context, it seems like the answer is yes. The judgment is correct. She was judged accurately, that she was in fact committing sexual immorality, adultery. Right? We have all kinds of questions. Where was the man? How did they find her in this particular situation? Why is she brought into this mix? But how does Jesus respond? Well, we remember from the passage, verses 3 through 5. The teacher of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" Now remember, at that moment, Jesus kneels down and he writes on the ground, and then he looks up and he says, "You who have not sinned, you cast or throw the first stone." Right? In fact, his judgment is one of grace in this instance. It's not that the judgment or the accuracy of the information was wrong. In fact, it seems to be right. And yet here, they seem to be breaking the very code that Jesus is teaching his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not judge, or you too will be judged, right? By the measure you use, it will be measured to you. All the men who are standing around at that moment, the oldest all the way down to the youngest, head out and they go their way. Why? Because they understand, right? If they bring judgment now, then Jesus could also bring judgment upon them. Does that make sense? How about the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector? In Luke 19, verse 7, when the people see Zacchaeus get down from the tree and Jesus wants to go to his house, all of the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Is the judgment accurate? Is he a sinner? Yes, the answer is, he is a sinner. And yet their judgment about Zacchaeus is not right. He is a sinner who has turned to Jesus and is finding grace in the Lord. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Does that make sense? We really have to be careful in the church how we spend our time judging others. Sometimes, as a church family, we might easily judge those in the world. There's a couple instances from the past that we may be aware of. From Hurricane Sandy, when our church was serving the people of the Bayshore area after that horrible storm, we started working with Gigi and Wally, who were bar owners in Union Beach. And you might say that most of us prior to Hurricane Sandy would have never gone into a bar to say, why don't you join with us in some community service project? We might ask a place like McDonald's, or we might ask a reputable restaurant like Chili's or Ruby Tuesdays to, let's raise some money through you. In fact, churches do that all the time. We might work with a nonprofit or a Taekwondo place to teach something to kids. But few of us would go to a bar to see if we could do community service together. However, this storm brought about a good result. In fact, together we started a community restaurant. We helped thousands and thousands of people. We worked together to hand out millions of dollars of supplies. We did so much work together. And that may not have occurred if we would not have stepped out of who we currently are and kept our judgments intact. Jesus says, do not judge or you too will be judged. Let me confess to you, I don't always do this the right way. There's a guy, Steve, who's a friend of mine who served a lot with me in the community. I mean, he was the kind of guy you would never want to be around. He had a bad attitude. He had coarse language. He was always putting others down. In fact, he complained most of the time. He's the kind of guy you really don't want to be around. And one day I found out that he was going around telling everybody how horrible I was, and about how I was making the wrong decisions and they didn't agree with them. And he was talking down about me to others. Well, a few days go by and my decisions that I ended up making ended up coming true and things turned out well. And do you know that he came straight up to me, spoke to my face, and apologized and said, Carl, I'm really sorry. I've been telling everybody about how horrible you are, and yet you made the right decision. And he apologized for what he did. My judgment against him caused me to not want to be around him, to not care anything about him, right? Now, a day goes by. I still hadn't really forgiven him. And I'm talking bad about another nonprofit organization. And I'm talking about how horrible they are, how slow they are. And he looks at me and he simply says, do not judge or you too will be judged. At least that's what my grandmother always told me. And in my heart, there was anger and darkness. Yes, in my heart, I was furious at him. How dare you quote scripture to me, a minister of the gospel? You see, I was still judging him for his behavior. I found out later, as we worked through some of those issues and I let go of my judgments, that he was going through a divorce. His children wouldn't have anything to do with him anymore. His job wasn't going well. And financially, he was in a horrible spot with debt and all kinds of trouble. You see, once I stopped judging him, I started to recognize the light that the gospel could have in his life, the opportunity for him to be changed, to be restored in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, my friends, we must heed the call of Jesus here. Do not judge or you too will be judged. Because if we don't heed Jesus' judgment, then we will be unable to be the light to the world that God has called us to be. The passage continues on and says this, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see there, Jesus is bringing out what we've already seen in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. He's bringing out hypocrisy. He says, when we judge others and we have this big sin in our life, this plank in our life, in our own eye, then we are behaving hypocritically. We must recognize as disciples of Jesus that we first have to get right before God before we try to correct something else in someone else's life. And we really have to be aware of who we are and the condition that we're in. And judging only in a way that is loving others, that is caring for others, that is considering the outcome, not judging to condemn others. If we condemn quickly, we may find ourselves like that crowd around the woman caught in adultery, or that crowd standing as Jesus is taking Zacchaeus and they're going to go have dinner together. We must be careful about falsely accusing others or bringing judgment that is condemning others. I want to say this. The Bible sometimes gives us a list of sins. And in the book of Romans chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we see these lists that Paul makes of various sins. And I want you to think about these sins for a minute, because I believe this will help us in understanding about how we might fall into the trap of judgment and also how we can get out of this trap. Here's the list: greed, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slander, God-hater, insolent, arrogant, boastful, disobeying parents, homosexuality, drunkard, swindler, thief, sexually immoral, prostitution, and adultery. What a list we have. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment which ones of those that I just mentioned you have committed before. Now, I can tell you honestly that I have gossiped before. I have envied before. I have had greed, strife. I have been deceptive, so I've had deceit. There are several of these that I have done. And in those sins, I tend to have a lot of grace upon myself, knowing that Jesus forgives greatly and in a big way in regards to these sins. And when I encounter some of you or others in my life who struggle with those same kinds of sins, I resonate with you. I can relate to it. Oh, greed. I remember the time that I just wanted money, and so I took advantage of the situation. Or I only spent my time trying to get more, and I was greedy. Or I might say, I remember that time I started talking bad, in fact, about you, or about a friend of mine, and how horribly that turned out. I understand. God's grace is there for you. But then I go back to this list, and I see some things that I could see that someone might do at some point. I don't drink, but I could see how you could become a drunkard, right? So I can understand that. Adultery. I haven't committed adultery, and yet I can understand how someone might move towards adultery. And so I have some understanding, and so I still would have a certain amount of grace with you if you mentioned those sins. But then there's a third part of this list, a part of this list of individual things that I can never see myself or anyone else committing. For me, it would be things like prostitution, homosexuality, a God-hater. I just can't see those things. I can't imagine how anyone might struggle with those things. And because I can't imagine how anyone might struggle with those things, it's harder for me to have grace upon others when they struggle with those things. Now, why am I saying this? Because what I find is that the further away it is from a possibility for my sin, or at least in my mind, to possibly struggle with that sin, the less likely it is for me to show mercy to that person. And the less likely it is for me to show mercy, the greater the opportunity for me to show judgment. for me to judge somebody else because they are a prostitute, or judge somebody else's lifestyle who is living in homosexuality. You see, it might be easier for me to judge them because I don't understand that sin. And so although it's in the very same list of sins, that I've struggled with some of the same kinds of things, and all these sins lead to death and eventually to eternal consequences without Jesus, of course. Even though they're in the same list, I'm more easily judgmental with those who commit sins that I don't understand. Does that make sense? Now, the truth is, I've broken some of these very sins in these lists. And the gospel of Jesus, the hope of the gospel is this, my friends. Jesus can forgive me of those sins. Now, there are some things in this list, like I've just mentioned, that I can't imagine you ever committing. And maybe some of you have committed those things. And I have to say that the hope of the gospel is the same for you. That God's mercy can cover over that sin. Even though I can't imagine it, God, in His great mercy, can. And so, yes, He can forgive your sins. If that is the case, then we have a case here for why Jesus says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the measure you use, it will be measured against you. You see, God understands sin. He understands what we go through. And so, He's encouraging us to do this very good thing, which is simply loving others. Taking the plank out of our own eye before we start taking the speck out of someone else's eye. Make sure that we aren't hypocrites in the way that we behave so that we can love others to come into the community of God. Imagine for a minute someone caught in a sin. How does Jesus treat them? Well, we don't really have to imagine it because we have it with the woman caught in adultery. He's loving to her. Or what about the woman at the well? Jesus, again, although she's had many husbands and many men in her life, He's loving towards her. If you look in the Bible to men like David, who were falsely accused of several things, God is loving towards him. Why? Because He has mercy on him, even though he had committed adultery and murder and things that I couldn't possibly imagine. So if we do not judge David, then we cannot judge others. We cannot condemn them because the gospel is for us all. May God's mercy be upon you as you seek to follow Him.